Mac Brock, what a good guy, WWIB, and it's so important. You know, emphasizing Oswald Chambers said, at the root of all sin is a suspicion that God is not good. And it says in Psalm 119, I want to say 68, that God is good and what he does is good. And so we go back to that and back to that. Don't we, Jason Cans?
We do. Mm-hmm. We do, we do. The Oswald Chambers line, is that from July 13th?
No, it's not. It's from a different day. I did read other ones.
All right. Okay.
Yeah, that's my favorite one.
That, July 13th,
which was his wife's birthday, and she transcribed his stuff, was God first, God second, God third. Yeah, that was good.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, our question of the morning as we kick off the best 5 minutes of the day is January your toughest month of the year? And if not, which is? So, because I'm just thinking, like, this is just, I don't know. You know, it's nice to get the warming, but even when the sun's out, it's just like I don't appreciate it enough or something. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. January is my hardest month, for sure. You know, it's coming out of the holidays, you know, building up in October and November and December. October is my favorite month, and then November and December, we've got holidays. And then we get through the new year, and all of a sudden, it's a season of very much slowing down, cold weather. I go to work in the dark. I come home in the dark, and it can be challenging.
Yeah.
To, you know, with seasons of down like that. So
right.
I would definitely say for me, it's the hardest month.
And you're in the neuropsychology business. I mean, the brain study. I mean, you know. I said, you know, I've never officially been diagnosed seasonal affective disorder, but I'll buy in. I mean, I'd like one of those. Turning on a lamp is nice, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. I would say seasonal affective disorder is a bigger issue here than even when I was working in the Milwaukee area. Mm-hmm. You know, that we're a little farther north, and it's really common around here.
Yeah.
And, you know, we often incur... take vitamin D because we get so little vitamin D in the winter, which normally comes from sunlight. And so a lot of times that will help folks out with some of the mood stuff. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we have, so let us know on the listener line, is this your toughest nut? If not, I'd be curious to know which of the other 11 is 396-1670. Well, let's try to at least, we got like this next section of Colossians 1 is like 6 verses. So, I see that's where they're kind of the way you group it in letters to the beloved. So here we go in New Living. It begins. Paul writes, "So we have continued praying for you ever since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you a complete understanding of what he wants to do in your lives, and we ask him to make you wise with spiritual wisdom." Let's just pause there. I mean, that seems like that's something to chew on. So we've continued praying. So continued to pray for you. I mean, that if I was to say that sounds a bit excessive, like really you've continued to pray for me ever since, like, but I mean, I think it's full of a lot of enthusiasm and passion, right?
I think that's an interesting thing in the Christian world. Or maybe it's just true for me is that, you know, people say, "Hey, will you pray for me?" "Yeah, I'll pray for you." And how easy is it for us to forget, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I a lot of times I find it more helpful if someone says, "Hey, will you pray for me?" If I say, "Hey, can I do it right now?"
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Because it's so easy to kind of slip out of mind. And so to hear Paul, you know, I wonder what his prayer life was like. What did that look like for him to be praying regularly for others? So...
Yeah, for sure. Talk about, you know, we've talked about rethinking your previous ways. And boy, Paul's like the ultimate example of somebody who was going one direction and rethought his ways, right?
Absolutely.
Hmm. Well, I think maybe that's just a good start. We'll have to, rather than take 6 verses, which is kind of, but I think that's a good, we'll just kind of verse by verse. So tomorrow, work our way up to verse 10 in Colossians chapter 1. Have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
There we go,
our buddy Jason Cans, WWIB. So there's just a lot of reasons, right, that January is tough financially. People are like cleaned out from Christmas. And so we're asking you, is this your toughest month of the year? If not, I'd be curious what else is and why. And what are you saying to us?
Hi, this is Cody Ender. I would probably agree that January is perhaps the hardest month for me. in the way that it just, I try to think back to the year before and what things that I didn't do so well in, and what things that I feel I could do better in this new year. You know, and definitely one thing that has been, something on my mind a lot each and every new year is what ways I could be better at getting closer with God, as well as, reading His Word more intimately, spending more time alone in prayer, and something that honestly I take for granted and realize each and every new year that I need to do more of. But that's pretty much for me as well, January, in the way of just how can I serve God better, ultimately? How can I serve God better than how I served Him the year before? Thank you.
Caleb, I threw it out today on the WIB Wake Up Show Facebook page and on the listener line at 396-1670. Is January your toughest month? If not, what is and why? And hearing from folks like Cody saying, yeah, this is probably my toughest month. So is it for you?
You know what? Usually I am dieting in some form or fashion, and it's cold and snowy, so I don't necessarily love that, though actually Snow Day giveaway is coming back on Monday, so be prepared for that to brighten up your winter. But I really love the NFL playoffs,
that's good.
I always get the NFL playoffs
that's
in January.
True. That's
so
good. Thank you.
That's my bright spot. I really, really love it.
I appreciate that. You picked me up.
Well, I don't know if it has trouble starting, but apparently it can drive for you now. We've heard about Teslas. We've seen them on the road, and they have more and more things to take the human out of the equation, I guess.
And a little bit of controversy. A Tesla self-driving feature drawing backlash for what some are saying could lead to too aggressive driving. The company's full self-driving FSD beta allows vehicle operators to choose from one of three driving modes that control how the car reacts to road conditions. You got your choices. What are they, Caleb?
Well, there's chill. Okay, mm-hmm. I like it.
All right.
There's average, and then there's a driving mode called assertive.
That's the one that's causing concern, with a description noting a car in this mode will shorten its follow distance behind other vehicles.
So basically, it'll tailgate for you.
Not get out of passing lanes and pull off more speed-based lane changes. Plus, it may perform rolling stops.
Wow, so it could get you ticketed.
That would be a downgrade on your drive safe and save insurance gauge, right?
Well, yeah, and here's the thing. I think I just saw a commercial. I don't know what insurance company was for, Allstate or something. And it's like, you know, here's the light breaker and here's the safe follow distance person. You can earn more money on your insurance by driving safely like this. And then here's Tesla saying,
right,
no, we're not going to do any of those things. We're going to drive the way most people drive. And we're going to have an assertive mode. And we might get you ticketed for performing a rolling stop.
And they're getting good publicity out of it.
Yeah. A YouTube video shows testers comparing the various modes side by side. The website The Verge notes the test doesn't take place in heavy traffic or bad weather, thank goodness, making it hard to see stark differences. I'm just wondering sometimes if they followed some people on roads here in Wisconsin. It's like, let's drive like them.
So I wonder if there need to be more options. I mean, you know, we've got 60 choices for your identity on Facebook. I mean, the idea of, I mean, chill seems like it's maybe a little slow if it's below average, right?
Yeah, well, that's the person who goes 45 in the passing.
Yeah, okay,
on the
so that's too slow. Average, and then assertive, does assertive go too far?
Yeah, where's the road rage mode? They're probably going to add that as well.
Oh, boy.
Be safe out there, be kind.
Be defensive driver.
Indeed. You know what? Sometimes we need a little humanity in our driving.
Finn MacMissile, British Intelligence.
So mighty, average intelligence.
Speaking of giving, it was so wonderful to see the way you all supported Feed My People Food Bank. Again, we ask you to do that all throughout the year, but especially during our 60 Ways in 60 Days campaign. And Suzanne from Feed My People surprised us with a gift this morning. And so we thought, hey, let's just throw her behind a mic.
I saw the lights at the front door, and lo and behold, a surprise guest.
Yes. And so, again, Suzanne, you were just telling me off the air a little bit how the 60 Ways in 60 Days campaign, how you guys felt that it went this year.
Oh, you know, I think it was our best ever. Mm. And I just think we reached a lot of folks. A lot of folks were so generous, Caleb. It was a lot of small communities, a lot of people who really rallied behind what we do. And the impact is great. I mean, the impact Your viewers match our service area very closely, and so what a wonderful partnership.
Yeah, throughout western and central Wisconsin, over 200 partner agencies, and again, through this campaign, we were able to tag along on some of the visits, but also, again, gifts of $500 or $1,000 food credit given all over the area, and especially to some of these smaller pantries. I got a thank you note from Granton the other day. You know, some of these smaller communities that say, wow, that really, really makes an impact. Thank you. And this isn't us. This is the Wibb family who says, yeah, we're going to help those who have less than us.
It reinforces what we really know, right? That when we all work together collectively, wow, what we can do together as opposed to if we try to do it by ourselves.
Yes.
And so that's what's so exciting about all of this.
Well, we appreciate you stopping by. Thank you for the bagels this morning.
Oh, actually, you know,
that was our trivia question yesterday. And then there was some debate about how bagel is actually pronounced, because I think in Wisconsin we say it a little bit differently.
And some strawberry and regular cream cheese. Thanks so much.
You know, the WWIB crew, you guys are just fantastic. And we're so grateful to have you working side by side with us.
Suzanne from Feed My People, FMPFoodBank.org. Remember, hunger doesn't stop just because we're through the holidays, and every single dollar you give provides food. 4 meals. Thank you so much for supporting, and we'll look forward to more events to benefit Feed My People throughout 2022 as well.
Gail, when you think goldfish crackers, do you think kids or adults?
Well, I think kids, generally speaking, because my kids love goldfish crackers, and there's like 16 different kinds at the store. You never know which one to buy.
I think kids, and then I think like Sunday school. It seems like it's just something
yes,
that goes.
Yes, absolutely,
right?
Because that's
yeah.
Sometimes we fill in teaching the, well, mostly Lindsay, teaching the twos and threes class. Goldfishes are great to help them listen to the Bible story.
So it's this crunchy snack loved by kids, but they're chasing a new demographic. Somewhere they've said, what about goldfish crackers for grown-ups?
Yeah. I didn't really know I needed a separate kind, because I just, you know, and the thing is, it's a kid snack, but it's like, well, actually, that's pretty good. So.
Right. So Pepperidge Farm, which makes the crackers, rolling out a new line of snacks called Goldfish Megabites, which is designed to appeal to adults. Megabites coming in two flavors. Sharp cheddar and cheddar jalapeno.
Oh, so, are they bigger?
Sounds like, yeah, the Megabytes crackers are larger than the traditional goldfish and are available for purchase right now.
All right. Well, there you go. But I'm still going to just sneak a few for my kids' paper towel when they're eating them in Sunday
school.
Yeah,
you get a little handful and you're like, that's a tasty treat.
I just remember, man, Izzy doesn't live around here anymore, but that jingle was stuck in my head because I remember a 3-hour trip to Camp Fairwood as a kid. Izzy Deutsch, who doesn't live around here anymore, he's actually a police officer in the Sheboygan area, I think, but he just kept singing, I love fishes because they're so delicious, goldfishes, for 3 hours on the way to camp. That's my enduring memory of goldfish. Izzy, love you, man. Hope you're doing well.
Well, is it possible that you or someone you know is grossing out their coworkers without even knowing it? Employees were surveyed about which of their coworkers' behaviors were making them cringe.
And these are not just work-from-home surveys where you're working around your toddler all the time. This is real adults.
This might be reasons why people want to work at home, right?
Yes. So, again, from this survey of coworker cringy behavior.
Yes.
Should I start with the first one
here? Go ahead.
All right, real quotes from real people. Every single day, one of the other teachers, so this must be out of school, one of the other teachers pops a bag of microwave popcorn in our commercial communal kitchen and eats it, then rips open said popcorn bag and thoroughly licks out the inside.
Okay, I never heard of that before.
It's really like the extra butter. Just go to Micon and ask for extra butter. They'll oblige.
Okay, here's another one. They say, quote, putting your feet on someone else's desk or chair or on the table in the conference room, not only is it rude, but who knows what you're dragging in off the dirty street?
Yeah, don't do it.
Yeah.
Things that gross out your coworkers, again, real quotes from real people. This person said, clipping your fingernails during a meeting. My boss runs a pretty successful hedge fund, so he thinks he can get away with it, but it makes me shudder. I remember this was a long time ago. No one goes there currently. But I remember being kind of in the back while my dad was preaching and seeing someone clipping their fingernails in church.
In church.
Do they have time to do that at home?
People kind of feeling like that's a little downtime.
I know. We're very welcoming here.
I can multitask. Yeah, right. Okay, yes. Another way that a coworker says he or she is grossed out says, quote, my office mate interrupts me. No, not going to do that one. Here's another one. One of my coworkers apparently feels so rushed, she frequently takes both her laptop and food into a bathroom stall. You can hear her in there chomping on an apple, typing, etc.
Multitasking. And finally, ways folks have been grossed out by their coworkers, some cringy behavior. This person said, flossing. I don't care if it's in your cubicle or in the bathroom. Don't do it at work.
Yeah.
Again, you'd think maybe you could take care of some of that oral hygiene at home before coming in.
People just remembering, like, oh, I forgot.
And as you mentioned, maybe this is why we work at home. Three in a row on the WIB Wake Up Show. Down here, hope is rising. Finished off three on WWIB, where we are family. And speaking of family.
Yeah, our daughter Grace is in Oslo, Norway. And I just had a little video chat with her right before the 8:30 weather. And that was great. They're 7 hours ahead of us. And the big thing, the weather report from Oslo, a lot of Norwegians in the WIB listening area. And she said, you know what? It's not as cold as I thought.
Okay.
She went out and took a walk, and she's like, it's 36 degrees. I don't have to bundle up like an Eskimo here.
So. Yeah, and again, if it does get cold, she is hale and hearty and used to it.
Yes, exactly.
Again, wishing Grace an absolutely wonderful and life-changing time over there with YWAM. Our dogs, even if they're not as talented as the YouTube ones.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the cats get a lot of attention on YouTube too, right?
So, yeah.
Well, we've got five dog myths we're looking to dispel for you in the next couple of minutes. So here we go. First off, the myth, a dog's nose can tell you if he's healthy or sick. Nope. Cold and wet or warm and dry, a nose is just a nose. The only accurate way to test a dog's temperature is with a thermometer. Normal dog temp between 100.5 and 102.5. How about that?
All right, there you go. Some dog myths is dispelled here in the WIB Wake Up Show. Here's another myth. Dogs who eat grass are sick. Well, actually, dogs are descended from wild wolves and foxes, which means grass was once part of the normal canine diet. So if they eat small amounts of grass and upchuck it, don't worry. Totally normal.
Huh.
I did not realize some of these things.
Is your dog a grass eater?
No.
Yeah, ours are not either. Ours are not either.
Well, you other things, he'll be a countertop surfer, but
oh yeah, I hear
he's eating butter.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like, I mean, why are you just eating butter? Wants to support the dairy industry, I guess.
We've got one of those garbage cans in the kitchen. They're kind of nice with the pedal, and it opens up. Yeah. Athena's figured out how to use it. She can dumpster dive.
She is smart.
Yeah. Myth, mixed breed dogs are healthier than purebreds. Yeah, no, that's a myth. Studies show that's not always true. However, mutts generally do have fewer of the genetic diseases common in purebred lines.
Two more dog myths here in the WIB Wake Up Show as we dispel these myths. Here is the myth. Dogs love to be petted on the head. Now, that's not necessarily true. Some dogs, not all, but some dogs actually hate it because they have very sensitive eyes and ears. So again, dependent.
Okay. But they love to be petted, that's for sure. And finally, myth. Dogs are picky eaters. Not true. Dogs have very poor taste buds and eat primarily based on their sense of smell.
I feel like cats are really picky, though.
They're just picky in general.
Yes.